He said, son, when you grow up, would you be the savior of the broken, the beaten and the damned? He said, will you defeat them, your demons and all the non-believers, the plans that they have made? Because one day I'll leave you a phantom to lead you in the summer to join the Black Parade.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Jaguars, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Zach Goodall. You guys can welcome me back as well. I'm sure Chris made you aware of it. I didn't really get to listen to last week's episodes, but if he did not, I missed the past week with mono, and that didn't feel good. I couldn't talk for about 3 or 4 days, so couldn't be here to record. Really appreciate Chris filling in for me, getting 4 episodes out last week with our buddies Javal, Sharif, and Joe. Really appreciate the work they did. And despite how painful and terrible mono is, I haven't felt as bad as I did today watching the Jaguars, simply put, get their asses handed to them by the Dallas Cowboys by a score of 40-7. In today's episode, we are going to be breaking down just about everything that's going on right now in what I call the mid-season meltdown of the 2018 Jacksonville Jaguars. But before we get into that, make sure to go check out the website, LockedOnJaguars.com. Got a lot of content coming your way over there. Follow all the writers. They've got all their Twitter handles up on their posts. Be sure to check them out. Got everything over on Twitter as well, so make sure to follow on Twitter, at LockedOnJaguars. Myself at Zach_Goodall, Chris at Misto Christopho. Please subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, anywhere you can listen to podcasts. Leave a rating and review. We'd absolutely love to hear what you guys think of the show, good or bad. Give us some advice. Tell us what you love. Tell us what you hate. And we'll go from there, and we'll try and correct whatever we can do to make this the best Jaguar show out there. And we'll go ahead and get into it. If you hear me coughing at all or maybe squirting some chloroseptic into my throat, it's because mono does suck and it does last a while. However, I'm going to go ahead and give this podcast a try. So as I mentioned, Jaguars take an embarrassing loss to the Dallas Cowboys in AT&T Stadium today by a score of 40-7. The last time that the Jaguars ever had a margin like that dropped on them, per Philip Heilman of the Florida Times Union, was, I think he said, week 3 of 2016 against the New England Patriots, where it was a score of like 51-3. Biggest margin since then, with the quote-unquote best defense in the NFL. A team bound to make the playoffs, as they were dubbed throughout the offseason and preseason. One of the best teams in the NFL just got flat-out embarrassed for the second week in a row. And there are problems all over. We're going to start with the offense. Blake Bortles had another terrible day. You know, the box score doesn't say that it was as bad as his Kansas City game, where he had 4 interceptions. He did have 1 against the Cowboys. It was a terrible, terrible throw. There's no room to defend it. He threw it into what looked like double coverage that turned into triple coverage that he did not read the top free safety coming over and making a play on that ball after it got tipped up. And that's something he has to read. He's a fifth-year pro. There is no room to defend it. It may have looked like double coverage. A good quarterback reads that and knows it's triple coverage. And why was he throwing that route into a tightly covered double coverage anyway? That, if you have to defend that, like, what are you doing? It was just a miserable outing, a ton of missed throws. The offense looks bland. And although Blake does deserve a lot of blame for the way he's played the past 2 weeks, it's been abysmal. There's no way to deny it. It has been. But he's not the only problem with this offense either. And that is saying a lot. This isn't me defending Bortles. This is me saying this is about as bad as it gets for an offense as a whole. Starting with the quarterback, the abandoning of the run game TJ Yeldon has been one of the most efficient players on this Jaguars team, if not the most efficient player on this offense throughout the start of the year. I did some math just recently. I just tweeted it out that TJ Yeldon, as of right now, I'm pulling up the tweet. He's averaged 5.67 yards per touch this year. You give him the ball on first and second down, and he's averaging a first down in those two plays every time he touches the ball. Yet he's only touched the ball on 24.4% of offensive plays. And keep in mind, he has a lot of receptions so far. I forgot the exact number of receptions. I'm going to try and do the math right now because I love you guys and I dedicate myself to the people. It's just, you got to give him the ball, and he's running the ball well. So obviously do that. Don't try and abandon the run when that's this team's identity, is they want to run the ball, but he's catching the ball well too. So go ahead and give him the ball whenever you can. Let's see. He had 22 receptions heading into the game. He has 25 receptions on the season. So he's obviously a versatile threat, especially with Leonard Fournette being out. Being in the last year of his deal, you'd figure that this team who wants to run the ball is going to run the ball to him, right? But they've abandoned him. They give him the ball in emergency checkdown situations. They don't scheme ways for him to be a threat, and it doesn't look good. Jamal Charles saw some time out there as well, who just signed with the Jaguars the other day. Had 5 carries for 5 yards. His longest run was 5 yards, so his other 4 runs all averaged a gain of exactly 0 yards. Not looking too great. The offensive line isn't looking too great. The left tackle position is starting its third starter this year, Josh Walker. I actually don't think Wells was doing that horrible of a job. I don't think Walker's done that bad of a job either. It is hard to rely on your third string left tackle, especially one that is actually a guard, being thrown into the fire at left tackle. It's not good. It's not good at all, and that really is hurting the line on top of poor performances from Norwell. Did not have a good game today, that being Andrew Norwell. He's had an up-and-down season so far, despite becoming the highest-paid offensive lineman, interior offensive lineman in the NFL just this offseason. Brandon Linder's dealt with a ton of injuries throughout the start of the year. He's played through them, but it's obviously nagging to him because he's on the injury report every week. AJ Cann's been really up and down. He's had moments where he shined. He's had moments where he's looked like the guy from the past couple of years. Jeremy Parnell hasn't been playing that well. The offense is just stalling. There are dropped receptions from the receivers, a lot of them. Tight end is banged up. Austin Seferian Jenkins isn't in. Honestly, I think their biggest weapon at tight end is James O'Shaughnessy. He's a guy I actually really like and thinks should be getting the ball more. He's hard to bring down. He's proven that over time. He breaks a lot of tackles. He's shifty. He can make plays for a 6'4", 250-pound guy. And with the injuries at tight end, I do think if they're going to try to pass the ball, they might start looking his way a little bit more. But really needs to start running the ball. They really need to start feeding TJ Yeldon. And that is a Nathaniel Hackett issue right now. And that's going to be the main point of this pod. The coaching staff has been really, really poor the past couple of weeks. I didn't want to blame Hackett too much last week against the Chiefs. I thought they had a decent plan. They should have run the ball more, but they were trying to take what they could get, and there were guys getting open. There was definitely, you know, some scheme things that he did decently. There was the third and fourth down situation against KC where they blew that, and I do blame Hackett for that, but I wouldn't go as far to say that he had as bad of a game last week as he did this week, where the run was once again working really well. Bortles wasn't doing anything out the gate. They had multiple three and outs. They were not moving the ball. They need to do like what's working. And the run game has been working. TJ Yeldon has been working. You have to get the guys that are moving the ball. And at some point, even though I didn't really want to blame Hackett for that last week, Yeldon's continuing to prove that he deserves it. I think Dede Westbrook is proving that he deserves the ball, because anytime he does get targeted, he ends up making a play. He ended up making a play today. He scored the only touchdown, but he wasn't getting targeted until in the second half against Kansas City. Dede Westbrook wasn't getting targeted until the second half. And then they finally started moving the ball in garbage time. At that point, it was a little too late both games, but Dede Westbrook was making things happen because they were scheming him and getting open, things that do work. Nathaniel Hackett needs to realize these things earlier on when you've got a week to watch this tape on the teams you're playing. Get ready for what they're doing and utilize the strengths that the team has. TJ Yeldon and Dede Westbrook on the offense, maybe a little bit of James O'Shaughnessy, maybe Blake Bortles running the read option rather than passing the ball, let's see, 61 times last week, 26 times this week, so what, 87 times in 2 weeks? It's not working. But when Blake runs the ball, it works. When T.J. Yeldon has the ball, it works. When D.D. Westbrook and James O'Shaughnessy catch the ball, it works. I think this is a real, real bad time for the Jaguars coaching staff. Nathaniel Hackett's not looking too hot right now. And on the defensive side of the ball, which I'm going to talk about when we come back from this short break, if you thought that Nathaniel Hackett was doing a bad job, just wait until we talk about Todd Wash.
You know, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice. Usually, it's what team to bet on this week. The truth is, I don't know who's going to win. But if you think you know, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust me, guys, they're your best bet this season. They've been in the business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. I would only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me. That's why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game, live betting, over-unders on fantasy points scored, and the most rewarding player perks in the business. MyBookie is slammed with new bettors and wants to give everyone the best service possible. If you're willing to deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern Time, they'll give you an additional $25 free play on deposits over $100. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON25 to activate this offer. Visit MyBookie today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON25 when creating your account to claim up to $1,000 in free play. If you're willing to hold out until 7 p.m., you get an extra $25 free play by using promo code LOCKEDON and add 25 at the end of it. If it's up to you guys, but I'd wait until after dinner to take extra money. You play, you win, you get paid.
In the words of Jaguars cornerback Jalen Ramsey after today's game, someone came up to him in the locker room and asked him about the Jaguars defense being, you know, one of the best defenses in the league. All he had to say was, "We're not playing like it." And he's 100% right, because the Jaguars have given up 70 points in the past two games. They have a -5 turnover differential. The only turnovers coming last week against Kansas City when Mahomes threw two interceptions. One was when they were already down by like 20 points, so not even really worth counting. However, I would like to give the defense a little bit of credit where it's due. They are getting to the quarterback. They are. It's not something you can argue with unless you just purely look at the box score scouts on ESPN.com. And I know a lot of people are doing that because my Twitter is filled with notifications saying the defense has regressed. Yannick Ngakoue is nowhere near as good as he used to be. They just aren't getting home. They're not getting sacks. They're not good. Wrong. All of that is wrong. It's all a bunch of lazy takes. And I'm sorry if you're offended, if you're someone that says that, but you are not looking into the context. Entering the game, Yannick Ngakoue already had 21 quarterback pressures on the year, and after that game, including since he had two sacks, and sacks count as pressures, I would almost guarantee he's over 25. Keep in mind, whoever was leading the league, and I can't remember the exact who it was exactly, I was looking at PFF this morning for these, but they had 29. He's up there in the conversation. He was ranked tied for 11th. He's probably breaking top 10 this week. He's doing fine. Malik Jackson's tied for 11th before today with 17 as an interior defensive lineman. Keep in mind, I would think it's a little harder for interior defensive linemen to get pressure on the quarterback when they're taking on the interior linemen, and they win that matchup when the edge guys are going one-on-ones against tackles. Interior guys are taking on two-on-threes. It's a little bit harder. They're getting pressure. Quarterbacks are taking advantage of the way the Jaguars scheme things, to where their corners and linebackers and safeties are all playing off-man or zone coverage. They're taking up the underneath. Receivers are getting open underneath because the Jaguars are playing so much off-man and so much zone. And quarterbacks are scared of this pass rush. they have to respect it because they are getting pressure. And when they're getting that pressure, quarterbacks are releasing at such a quick rate that at that point, teams start eating up the underneath. You can't ask Jalen Ramsey to come down and make a play on a 2-yard slant throw when he's playing 10 yards off the line in cover three, or an off man because he's being asked not to press against different receivers. When he pressed last week against Tyreek Hill, what happened? He got targeted 3 times. He allowed 1 catch. Yeah, it was a little bit of a long catch. That's going to happen when you're going against one of the fastest receivers in the NFL. At the same time, Tyreek Hill had a 131 passer rating generated heading into the Jaguars game against press. Nearly a perfect quarterback passer rating. I think it's like 158, so it's definitely getting close to that. Against Jalen Ramsey, he allowed a 79 quarterback passer rating. That was like the lowest of Tyreek's season. When they're pressing and when they're able to play a little more free, these DBs are allowed to show off the talents they have as press corners, as physical corners like we all know Jalen Ramsey is. And they're coming, taking away that underneath, forcing quarterbacks to not hurriedly, quickly release the ball. You know what's going to happen? Sacks are going to start coming. Calais Campbell's going to get back to double-digit sacks like he had if they start doing that. Yannick Ngakoue is going to start getting more than 4 sacks in 6 games when they start doing that. They're going to start getting home. I talked to Malik Jackson in the locker room this past training camp and preseason when I was in there doing some interviews. And he even told me he thought Avery Jones was on a breakout trail to have 4 sacks as a nose tackle, which is absurd numbers for a one tech nose tackle taking on a center. Those are the run defending guys. Those aren't as much pass rushers. He said that he saw it in Avery Jones to get 4 sacks as a nose tackle. And he's certainly able to. He's able to get after the quarterback. We've seen that. But none of these guys, Yannick Ngakoue only has 4 sacks to his name. And while he's getting pressure, he's 100% getting pressure. These quarterbacks are taking advantage of this Jaguar scheme that is just repetitive, repetitive, repetitive of being zone and off man, that they're finding the weaknesses. And they're not weaknesses by the players, because the players are some of the best players in the NFL. This is one of the most talented defenses in the NFL right now, even after giving up 70 points in 2 games. 100%. You won't find much more talent on other defensive teams. But the way things are being schemed by Todd Wash, the constant repeat cover three with some different styles of cover three where you've got a corner playing the free safety role. That's great. Like if they can do that, cool. That's really cool to see Jalen Ramsey playing free safety or AJ Boye playing free safety. I do not care if you're going to get unique with them. If that's the only coverage you're going to run, teams know what to do against that. They're scheming against it. They saw the Jaguars do it well last year. They are scheming against the constant cover three they run. They need to switch things up. Run some cover two. Have the corners play low and the safeties play high. Maybe a robbing middle linebacker like Miles Jack, who's one of the most athletic linebackers in the league and can pass cover. You can run variations of your defense and not the same thing over and over again. Then you'll start finding success. Then pass rushers will start getting home. Then the sack count will go up. Then teams are going to stall out on offense and not drop 40 points on you. Then Cole Beasley, the leading receiver for the Dallas Cowboys heading into this game, won't put up 101 yards and 2 touchdowns on you when they're just eating you up and can take the top off you after eating you up underneath because they've got you. They know what you're doing, and then suddenly they surprise you. Cole Beasley had 179 receiving yards heading into this game, or 170-something. He ranked 79th in the NFL among all receivers, tight ends, running backs. He would have to play on that pace that he was at. He would have had to play a whole 16 games to match what DeAndre Hopkins had through 5 games, which was like 590-something. It was ridiculous. And then because of the way the Jaguars are schemed and they're constantly running the same thing on defense, the Cowboys ate it up. Scott Linehan schemed perfectly against this Jaguars defense because you see the same thing over and over again on tape. They find the weaknesses in the coverage that they run, and they exploited them. And that's what the Cowboys did, and that's how they won this game. They exposed the weaknesses that Todd Wash is allowing to happen by not changing things up. The Jaguars are reluctant to send more than 4 rushers at a time. You can start sending 5 rushers. Send Leon Jacobs in that down linebacker role as a fifth pass rusher. Then drop Miles and Telvin into coverage, play some cover two to where you've got the corners coming down and the safeties back, or play press man, which Jalen Ramsey has said he likes to play and he's pretty damn good at it, so he's shown us through his career so far. I'm not willing to doubt him. AJ Bouye did not have a good game today, but for the most part, I still like what he offers this defense, and I think he can play toe-to-toe playing man with a receiver, or cover two with a receiver, and trying to stop the short routes when a quarterback's trying to quick release. There are things this defense is so capable of because they're so skilled. And as long as the scheme stays the way it is and they're not changing anything, the defense is going to continue to get carved up. The narratives are going to be drawn that the Jaguars defense is overrated. May not be true because I see the talent there. But as long as the coaching continues to do what they're doing right now, those narratives are going to get drawn. When I come back, I'm going to be taking some questions from Twitter. A lot of them are kind of depressing. A lot of people are starting to panic in this mid-season meltdown. So if you're willing to hear any answers to some questions people had on Twitter, feel free to stick around. If you want to go and shove your face in a pillow after today's loss, I also can't blame you. We'll do that right when we come back from these messages. All right, if you feel like you wanted to stick around, bless your soul. I don't know if I, as a fan, would want to keep listening to all the misery. But, you know, we're giving you the best breakdown we can here at Locked On Jaguars of this unfortunate Jaguars game against the Dallas Cowboys. And now it is time for our favorite part of today's show, that being the question and answer time from your takes on Twitter. So let's go ahead and get right to it. From Father Draco, first question that I was asked. This is a good one, actually, because I've talked a lot about the coaches. What are the odds play calling duties change before the bye week? Expect any coordinator changes at the bye week? I wouldn't say play calling duties are going to change necessarily. I don't know how qualified right now Doug Marrone is to be an offensive coordinator. He's certainly an offensive coach, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm sure if with some time, he could handle it. For sure. Like, and I trust Doug Marrone for the most part right now. I'm more upset with the coordinators. But at the same time, I don't think that's really what his vision is. I think he trusts his guys. He trusts Hackett because they have a past. Like, they've worked together extensively for a long time, so I don't think he'd take that over. He's also not a defensive-minded coach. He's more of the offensive-minded. He was a former offensive lineman, former offensive line coach here in Jacksonville, among other places. So I don't see him taking over anything. As for coordinators, the Jaguars are so good at sticking to their guns. See Blake Bortles in his history in 5 years here. Only time he ever got benched was in the preseason. That flipped pretty quickly. Gus Bradley, we saw about a year and a half too much of him, and they finally made the change. They did switch the offensive coordinator to Nate Hackett, but that's because they had a qualified backup plan. I don't really know what their backup plan would be on defense right now. Maybe Hobby, the defensive line coach, just because the defensive line is so good. Maybe Perry Fuel, the secondary coach, because he has experience, obviously, with Tom Coughlin being in New York. At the same time, I just don't see it. I really don't. I think, you know, they'd have to lose out and lose badly the next couple of weeks before the bye week if they were to make a coordinator change. But really good question. We'll have to just wait and see on that. I don't think it's too likely. From Jeremy Gonzalez, do you think Jamal Charles will be more beneficial going forward? I know he just got signed. And also rate Bortles' performance from today. Well, it wasn't a great start for Charles. He didn't really make much happen. Offensive line, I don't think gave him too many favors. He had to bounce outside. But I don't know at this point. I mean, he does need time. Like you said, he was just signed. He's been out of football since the end of 2017, where he was released at the end of the year. Probably thought that he was going to go sign somewhere else in ring chase, but that didn't end up happening. It's going to take some time just for him to get back to football speed, even though he's been working out. But, you know, get accustomed to what this Jaguars offense does, because I think this is probably the most power power run heavy offense that he's seen when they're running what they want, say they want to run. They haven't done that as much recently, but when Fournette's out there, probably has not ever played this much power as he will during the rest of the season. So just got to give him time to get used to things. I do think he can be a valuable player in this offense as a relief back, especially if they actually start giving Yeldon the ball like they should be. But we'll just have to see. As for Bortles, you know, the box score won't show it, even though it kind of does, because going 15 of 26 for 149 yards and one touchdown and one interception, that's not good. But people will say, you know what, that was just average. And if you want to call it that, sure, go ahead and rely on the box score. His throws were really bad today, other than the DD touchdown. That was like the only one I could truly hang my hat on. There just seems to be no confidence to try and test downfield when guys are getting open. He seems to panic. I wish he would turn those panics into running the ball more rather than making errant inaccurate throws. I'd probably give it like a 3 or 4 out of 10. That interception was one of the worst decisions I think I've ever seen him make. Throwing into double, actually triple coverage that looked like double, that he was baited into triple. And he even said it a couple weeks ago against the Jets. He can tell when people are baiting him. Why didn't you see it this week? That was an awful, awful decision that he made. Should never have made it. From Isaiah Chavez, I think I pronounced your last name right. If I didn't, really sorry, man. What should the Jaguars do about the quarterback situation? I mean, they're going to play Bortles. They just extended him for 3 years. This offense is married to him. He's going... I honestly wouldn't be shocked if he retired a Jaguar. Like, even if they've... Honestly, this is a take I've been kind of holding on to, and maybe I shouldn't say it, but I'm going to anyway because I'm in a mood. I have a feeling if this team were to win a Super Bowl in the next 2 years, he very well might hang it up after his contract's over. He's a football guy, but he's also a beach bum, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that in the way of why everyone does love Blake Bortles. He's a community guy. I don't think he, at least a couple years ago, thought football was working out for him too well. He's always lived around here. He grew up in Orlando, went to play football in Orlando at UCF, got drafted to a football team only 2 hours away from where he lived. He's very comfortable where he's at, you know, living the beach life, living kind of a relaxed life. If he were to win a Super Bowl and, you know, take the money that he got from this extension, which in all reality, he probably could have gotten paid a lot more on the free agent market because teams are so desperate for quarterbacks, like how Case Keenum signed, like, what, a $20 million a year deal in Denver. Like, he could have gotten paid more. I think he'll be happy with his money if the team does win at some point. So I don't know why I went on that rant. That was just a little thought I've had brewing in my mind. But anyway, this team is married to him. I think he's married to this team. And as long as that connection is there, mainly between him and Dave Caldwell, I don't see any change coming. I do think it would be smart to start Cody Kessler because he does exactly what they want Blake to do in this offense with West Coast schemes. That is literally the bread and butter of Cody Kessler's game. Like, he can hit those West Coast throws accurately. He doesn't have great arm strength. He doesn't need him when he's throwing the ball at max 15 yards down the field, but that's what they want Blake to do. Kessler can actually do it accurately. I would play him, but I know that's not going to happen. So maybe I'm wrong. I don't think I'm going to be wrong on that one. What happened to Saxonville? I've addressed that. They're getting quarterback pressure, and the scheme is not doing them any favors. They need a scheme change. Not dramatic, but I mean coverages. A lot of different coverages. Send more blitzes, and you'll start seeing that production on the box scouts. But unless you're paying a lot of money for PFF, you're not going to see what's actually happening right now with the Jaguars pass rush. From Jag28Fan, why do we hate man coverage? Also, why do running quarterbacks kill us? So I pretty much answered the man coverage thing. Now, running quarterbacks, and Pat Mahomes scored a rushing touchdown last week. Running quarterbacks have had a number on the Jaguars in the past. And that I don't really have an answer to. I mean, you might need to play a robber, and in which case you could do that with the scheme changes that I'm calling for. They can do that now too. But they can do that with the scheme changes that I'm thinking they should do. Whether you're running cover 2, cover 1, running man, cover 3, you can have Miles Jack or Telvin Smith because they're both athletic dudes who can make plays in the backfield. They can run and chase and make plays. Have one of those guys robbing. Have them spying the quarterback. have them moving around to contain the quarterback. And like, if he breaks outside, run and chase, almost like an extra, like a delayed blitz. Have those guys spying the quarterback, having these other guys drop into coverage, playing man, playing press, sending more blitzers, do whatever you need to do. Like I've said the entire show, but you can actually battle that. And you have to know this going into the week, if a quarterback's mobile or not. Like Dak Prescott, obviously he ran 11 times for 82 yards and a touchdown this week. Teams know that he's mobile. He can move the ball. He does it all the time. Why was Miles Jack not spying him? Why was Telvin Smith not spying him? That I don't know, but that's something they need to, you know, enter games knowing that these guys can do it. But they're running the same thing every single week and not adapting, just running the same exact defense every single week. And it's catching up to them. It's catching up to them. Then the final question comes from Q Carter Jacks. What do we have to do to turn this around? Feels like a lost cause at this point. I mean, I'm just an analyst, and in reality, I'm also just a fan. I'm not an NFL coach. I've coached some high school ball. I played football in high school. I had a little bit of interest from a D3 level to go play football. I know a little bit about the sport. I also am not hired by the NFL to make decisions. But, and maybe I'm on a high horse right now after this rant and feel good about myself, maybe the Jags should listen to Locked On Jaguars. Maybe they should listen to this episode and realize, just, you know, my two cents. It might not be worth anything, but there's a lot of people, smarter football people than I am, I'll tell you that, saying the same thing, that this defense and this offense needs to change some things, and they need to start being more aggressive, and maybe that will bring back what we saw last year from this team. I'm not sure. Maybe I'm totally wrong. Maybe I've got a decent idea. We'll just have to see. The Jaguars should go ahead and listen to Locked On Jaguars just because I told them to, and because I want more listens and more reviews and more subscribers. So that means that you should too. So go ahead and check us out on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, anywhere there are podcasts, you can find us. Be sure to leave a subscription. If you like today's episode, send me a tweet telling me you like the rant, because I can bring this heat out a little more, and I'm going to start as long as the team keeps underperforming. I don't normally bring out this type of bias. I've been trying to be more objective, and I feel like this was objective, but I got a little fiery today. If you like that, shoot me a tweet at Zach_Goodall and let me know you like these type of episodes, and we can bring more of them to you. But as for now, leave those ratings and reviews, subscribe anywhere you can listen to podcasts, check out the LockedOnJaguars.com website, and follow on Twitter at LockedOnJaguars, at Misto Cristofo, my absent co-host. Really appreciate the work he did for me last week, and myself at Zach Goodall. We will catch up with you guys this week.